This time we'd like to dismiss the children for children's church. And so kids, you can go on upstairs with your teachers. And as they're walking upstairs, would you turn in your Bible to the book of Jonah in chapter 1. We're going to be in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. You'll notice up on the walls, we got the walls up. And so praise the Lord. We started a project here about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, to finish out the walls. And so they had to put the wood studding up and then put the drywall on. And now it's been taped and mudded and sanded. It's all ready to be painted. So praise the Lord. So thank you, Paul. Everybody, let's give Paul a big hand for coordinating all that. Wonderful job. Okay, if you would turn in your Bibles again to Jonah. Give you a minute to find it there. Book of Jonah. I get a little bit of echo back. A little bit of revive there. Okay. Okay, Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. And he cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him, and he said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we might know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And verse 8. And then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of the heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that it's for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. In verse 13, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and they said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah, And they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just would ask that you would take these words and press it upon our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You like to go on a cruise? 3 day voyage? Sounds like Gilligan, right? They went off on a 3 day voyage. Well, Jonah went on an unplanned 3 day voyage in the belly of a great fish. And there's lots that we can learn from this story. And I looked at these sections as I read through this passage. I put a heading on the different sections. And there's things we can learn through this entire story of Jonah. And we'll continue it next week on part two of Jonah. Which, by the way, Pastor Mark and Trish, our senior pastor, are gone. And they'll be back in 3 weeks. So you'll get to hear Pastor Mark in 3 weeks. In the meantime, you can bear with me. But we've got God's Word. So that's good. 3 days, a 3 day trip. It didn't start off that way. It starts off with the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Endemite, saying, now that should have been a great thing. If you got a call today, Bob, from President Trump, you'd be shocked, wouldn't you? Probably, maybe not. But he said, I want to talk to you, Bob. I want to spend some time with you. And you'd be really excited. I bet you would call your wife in a heartbeat and say, President Trump called you, me and wants to meet me for lunch. And she'd say, well, I'm coming. Or she wouldn't believe you. She'd say, are you feeling okay? But Jonah got a word from the God. That should have been very exciting, a message from God. Now, a few years ago, about 3 years ago, we were out on a family vacation. Sarah and I, we had our two daughters, Heidi and Michaela, and our son Josh and his wife, Megan. And we come up with some games. So we played this game, and I was asking Sarah this morning what we called that game. We didn't really have a name, so I came up with a name. It's called Pictaphone. And it's like telephone, where, you know, it's the game of telephone. You get in a circle, and you tell somebody something, and they pass it on. And, of course, the message gets changed. But in this case, we all had stacks of paper, and we wrote down a phrase, each of us on our stack of paper. And then we passed the paper to the person beside us. They read the phrase. They took the paper, put it on the bottom, and on a fresh sheet of paper, they drew a picture of that phrase. When everybody's finished drawing their picture, they pass it on. The next person takes a look at that picture and tries to figure out what the phrase was. And they write the phrase down on another clean sheet. And so you go all the way around the room, and pretty soon you've got a new story. And so the fun part is at the end, you read the final phrase, what it people thought it was, and then you start looking at the pictures. And I think most of the people in my family are good artists. I don't have that ability that the rest of the family, so my pictures are kind of shaky. But I got on the very last round, my phrase on the paper in front of me said, taking a gingerbread man out of the oven. So I drew a cartoon picture of an oven and somebody with like a pizza. What's the thing you call these? Bring a pizza out, those great big fan-shaped deals. And I decided to put more than one gingerbread man on there. I put a couple gingerbread men. I mean, you're not going to make just one gingerbread man. And so then we went around and then we explained what they were. Well, guess what that turned out to be? The phrase was a bun in the oven. And Megan and Josh were announcing to us that Megan was pregnant. But my picture had a bunch of gingerbread men in. So maybe that meant they were going to have many more. But it turns out they've had two and one on the way. Well, that should have been good news. That was very excited news for us. You should have seen Mrs. Newhart. She was excited, weren't you? I was too. But I think Miss Newhart had me beat. Sarah had me beat. Jonah was picked by God to go on a mission here. And he says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." He wanted to go. God wanted to warn the people of Nineveh, "You are wicked, and I'm warning you, I'm going to punish you." I'm glad God gives us warnings. You've had children, maybe, that you've been in charge of, and you've given them warnings. Don't do that. And they keep pushing the limits, and after a while, you have to punish them. Well, God was going to punish Nineveh. But you notice he tells Jonah to arise and go. And I kind of wondered, well, maybe Jonah was lying down, sleeping, when God brought him this message. And sometimes that's kind of hard to get up. You ever been sound asleep and somebody woke you up and tried to get you? Well, we've got one member of our household that gets a special pizza. And we order a special pizza just for him. And yesterday, I got a pizza for him, and it came. And I told him, "Hey, your pizza's here." But he was busy doing something else. And he wanted to continue that. And so he didn't come get his pizza probably for an hour. But he wanted to finish. And sometimes we're like that. We don't like to get up. And I can imagine maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe Nineveh was enjoying his sleep. But God, when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. So what does Jonah do? He's picked to go. You know, I'm glad that God gives us an opportunity to share news with other people. You know, he's picked me and you, everybody in this room, to share the message about Jesus Christ with this world. Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set up on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a candle and place it under a bushel, but you place it on where? A candlestick." And God tells us, don't put our light under a bushel. That's a bushel basket. We don't hide our light. It says, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and do what? Glorify your heavenly Father," your Father which is in heaven. So God wants us to live our life so that other people will get to know him. So we're supposed to be messengers. I don't know if you knew that. God wants you to be his messenger this week, that other people would see in you a difference in your life and in my life. But Jonah, he had a special message for. And did he do it? No. In verse 3, it tells us he fled from God. Verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And it makes a point to say that phrase twice, that he fled from the presence of the Lord. What a sad thing it is for a believer to turn away from God. I think Jonah probably was a man of God, loved God, but he was scared. The people of Nineveh was another nation, another people. They were a wicked people. And he was probably started thinking in his mind, well, what happens if I go to Nineveh and I tell them this message? What are they going to do to me? You know, they're going to start to torture me. They're going to beat me up. They're going to throw me in prison. Maybe they're going to kill me. And Jonah probably was right that under normal circumstances that would be what's happening. But if God sends you on a mission, he wants you to do something, you're going to be able to do it. But instead, Jonah went down by the sea. He found a boat that was headed clean away from Nineveh, the opposite direction from Nineveh. And he got on that boat, he had the money, he paid his fare, and the boat set off. In verse 4, it tells us about the storm that came. And as we read this passage, you're going to notice what Jonah did when he got on the boat. But let's read it. It's in verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken." Now, this isn't your typical little wind. It's not your typical little waves. This was a monster of a storm. There's probably not words to describe this storm. And these were sailors used to going out onto the waters. I'm sure they've been in many, many storms. This storm scared them. They saw that this storm was likely to tear their ship apart. But you notice it didn't tear the ship apart. God could have torn that ship right in half and immediately punished Jonah and sent him right down into the depths of the sea, but he didn't. He sent him a warning. And sometimes we need shook up, don't we? Sometimes we turn from God, we start getting busy with life, we ignore God, and he needs to shake us up. And he started to shake old Jonah. And guess what Jonah did? He didn't wake up. It says there in verse 5, it said they were afraid. They cried unto their gods, etc., etc. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Can you believe it? Jonah's fast asleep in the midst of a huge storm. Can you just visualize him down there? Storm's rocking the boat back and forth. I'm sure, tossing him from side to side. And he still sleeps right through it. He thought that he escaped from God. God told him to do something and he didn't want to do it. He went the other direction. He got on the ship. He thought he was safe. How many times do we ignore God and think everything's going to be okay? We turn our back on God. We decide not to get up in the morning and read the Bible. We go through our whole morning, don't even talk to him. We come supper time, we still haven't talked to him. And we think that we're just going to get off scot-free, that everything will be hunky-dory. But Jonah gets woke up. He's unaware of the danger. God's trying to send him a great big warning sign. And finally, the sailor comes down and they wake him up. You see, anytime God can bring punishment on us, if we are in sin, we might think, okay, I've done this before. I enjoy doing this. I can just keep doing this sin over and over again. Do you think you're going to go without punishment? Have consequences? Well, Jonah found out there is consequences. And they woke him up. Unaware of the danger. I remember in our school, I grew up in little southeastern Ohio. It's in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. And we'd have a carnival at our school. We didn't have a kindergarten. It went from first to eighth grade. And once a year, they had a big carnival. And the gym had a stage on one end, one of the old-type gyms. And so one of the things I enjoyed going to was the scare house at the carnival. And they would draw the big curtain across the stage. And you'd wait in line to go in the door and go up the steps into like the little locker room, then go out onto the stage where they had set up a scare place. And we're sitting there. And they turn the lights off, of course, in the stage. It's pitch black and back in there. And you're waiting, can't wait to get in there. And you start hearing these screams. These sometimes would be blood-curdling screams. Oh, I can't wait. What's going on? You know, every now and then you'd see the curtain start to bump where somebody was, you know, something was going on. You couldn't wait to get back in there. So one year I was going up. They open the door and they let you in. They shut the door right away. Then you start going, trying to feel your way around. You know there's steps there. So you start going up the steps. It's real quiet. And I started going up the steps, one step, next step. And I'm feeling off to the side, trying to feel the walls. And all of a sudden, I started to take a step, and there was no step there. And they had added on to the steps with a false little set of stairs, and then it ended. And they had a mattress on the ground. And you fell right down under that mattress. Now, I'm sure today they wouldn't do that. That would be unsafe. The school would get in trouble. Somebody would sue. But we loved that as kids. And I can remember the terror of falling, stepping, and not being anything there. Sometimes there's dangers we're not aware of. And that was kind of a fun scare. But there is a horror when God punishes us. Verse 6. The shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou?" And he calls him a name. Gives him a new nickname there. What's he calling him? Old sleeper. Hey, sleepyhead. Get up. Don't you know what's going on? He said, "Call upon your God." We're calling to our gods. You know, call on your God. Don't you know we're about ready to... Our ship's about ready to be torn apart. And they started to cast lots. They figured out, okay, something's wrong here. This isn't like a normal storm. Somebody's doing something wrong to cause this storm. And so they cast lots, all the sailors, everybody on board, and the lot fell to Jonah. Sometimes we think we're going to get away with stuff, but we don't. And they said to him in verse 8, "Tell us, we pray thee, from whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou?" And as I thought about that, you know what thought struck me? Jonah, a man of God, got on that ship, and he never talked to the people. Those sailors had no idea who he was. They didn't know what he did for a living. They didn't know where he came from. They didn't know who his God was. And how shame on us. I got convicted. You know how many people that I know in my life that I've got to get to know that I've never told them yet about God? There are people every day we come in contact with, and they have no idea where you're from, what you do, and more importantly, they don't know your God. And I'm sure that smacked Jonah right in the face to hear them say, "Where are you from and whose people are you?" And then he has to say, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." You know, if Jonah wasn't going to tell anybody, God forced him finally to confess, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God." Let's not be like Jonah. Let's not make God force us to tell people about him. It should be good news. Mrs. Newhart, it was good news when Josh and Megan told us about the baby. It's even better news to share with people what's in this Bible. Jonah missed an opportunity. His sin is now revealed. They now know why he fled. You cannot escape God's wrath. You notice there in verse 13 what happened. It says, "The men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not." Could you imagine these guys? And now they're rowing as hard as they can, putting their back into it. Everything they got. And every time they start to row, they see the area they need to go, maybe towards land. Maybe they could even see the land, but they can't get there. And they're rowing, and every time they row, the waves just push them further away. And that tells me that when God brings punishment, there's nothing man can do to get away from it. They tried everything. And finally, they had to do it. In verse 15, they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea stopped from its raging. There's a picture up on the screen. Somebody drew a picture of Jonah flying through the air. Kind of looks like Superman. Hey, there you go. We got Superman in the back. Got his Superman. You haven't flown much lately, have you, Danny? Okay. He likes Superman. He kind of looks like Superman there in that picture, doesn't he? Spread out. But you know what? I wonder what Jonah was thinking. The moment those guys' hands, probably got 1, 2, 3. And the second he is airborne, but not yet in the waves. Could you imagine what was going through Jonah's? What was going through his mind? He said, oh, he should have been thinking, oh, I should have gone to Nineveh. He may have been thinking, what am I going to do when I hit the water? Or maybe he'd just given up all hope at that point. And sometimes we can be like that. And maybe he was resigned to dying. But God had other plans. You know, as long as you have breath, God's got a plan for you today. We only have so many days he gives us here on the earth, but they're precious days. The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. So every single day that God gives us on earth, we want to take advantage of it. We want to use it for his glory. We want to enjoy what he's provided here on earth. Because someday we will be in his presence. They cast him out. He hits the water. And instead of dying, the Bible says that God had prepared a great fish to swallow him. Even though it might have seemed like it was the end, it wasn't. It probably felt that way. I don't know what it would feel like to have a fish swallow you. Does anybody not like to pick up a fish? How many would prefer not to handle a live fish? There's a few people here. You wouldn't want to pick up a slimy fish, would you? What would it feel like to be inside a fish? Okay. Not probably very good. Probably didn't smell very good. This wasn't your ordinary fish. The Bible says it was a fish prepared by God. This thing grew probably like no other fish before it. It swallowed him whole, and now he's in the belly of the fish. I'm sure there's little fishes that he also swallowed in there, but I don't think he felt much like eating. And for 3 days, you could survive in the belly of a fish. God gave him time to repent. See, there comes a time when God gives us the opportunity to repent. Your entire life, every single day that you're on earth, you have an opportunity to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. You notice what the sailors did. When that sea stopped raging, what was their reaction? They didn't go, we got rid of that. I'm thankful that the sea stopped. Boy, I'm glad we got rid of that Jonah. No, that's not what they said. It says in verse 16, it says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. They realize at that moment that there is a true God. For a violent storm to instantly stop like that, it doesn't happen that way. Those waves, it takes a while for those waves to slow down and for the sea to get calm. They threw this man overboard and the waves immediately stop. Miraculously, no doubt in their mind, that this was the hand of God, and they feared God. And it says they made sacrifices to God. They made vows to God. They believed in God. Don't let the world tell you there's no God. There is a God in heaven that made us. And we're held up by His hand every day. God gives us a time to repent. And it's only while we're here on earth. When our time on earth is over, there's no more chances. I'm going to read something to you. On July 8th, 1741, quite a few years ago, 1741, filled as usual with a profound sense of the heinousness of sin, Jonathan Edwards preached America's most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, to a congregation at Enfield, Connecticut. His aim was to bring his listeners to at least some realization of the horror of their state. They were objects of God's great displeasure, for they had offended and outraged Him by turning away from His incredible goodness and intervening for their salvation. See, God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. His Son died for us. Can you imagine why God isn't angry when people don't believe Him? When people don't turn to Him, and He's done that for you and me, and we turn our back on Him? It goes on to say, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God is saturated with vivid images of the dangers of the unforgiven sin and the terrors of being lost. The response of the Enfield Church to these images was nothing less than amazing. Edwards was interrupted many times before he finished by people moaning and crying out, What shall I do to be saved? I'm going to read just two paragraphs from that sermon. This is from Jonathan Edwards. And he's talking in his sermon why man hasn't undergone God's judgment yet. Jonathan Edwards said, There is no other reason why you did not go to hell last night, or why you were permitted to wake up again in this world after you had closed your eyes to sleep. And there's no other reason to be given why you have not dropped into hell since you woke up this morning, except that God's hand has held you up. Indeed, there's nothing else that can stand as reason why you do not this very moment drop down into hell. O sinner, consider the fearful danger that you're in. It is a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit filled with a fire of wrath over which you are held by the hand of God. And this is a God whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as many that are damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it and ready every moment to singe it and to burn it asunder, yet you have no interest in any mediator. Nothing to lay a hold of to save yourself. Nothing to keep off the flames of wrath. Nothing of your own. Nothing that you've ever done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you for even a moment. Yet, God gives you an opportunity to repent and trust in Jesus. I read through his sermon this week, and it grips you to think of how many of our friends and co-workers, neighbors, people we know that haven't heard the good news about Jesus Christ, and they are hanging by a slender thread. Only God's hand, who they've provoked, He's given him other opportunity. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says God isn't slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's God's desire, is that each person would turn to him and trust in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to share that good news with him. Jonah didn't do it at first. Jonah had to be woken up out of his sleep. And Jonah had to be cast into the whale. And guess how many days it took him to finally to repent? 3 days. Reminds us of Christ being in the grave for 3 days. And the third day he came back alive. But Jonah kind of, it was a sign. God, that wasn't just by chance. God kept him in that whale's belly for 3 days. But it was on the third day when he finally repented. So let's not be like Jonah. Let's share the good news of this book with a world that needs to hear it. Let's close our eyes. And I trust everybody here has turned to Christ. But if you haven't, I don't know your heart. God does. He gives you a wonderful opportunity. He's not going to force you. He doesn't hold a gun to your head and say, you've got to believe. He gives you that opportunity to simply to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, his Son, died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin. The third day he came back alive. There's no doubt about it. Nobody else has ever done that. God predicted it would happen, and it did. It proved that he was the Son of God. And God says, I want to forgive you. I want you to be my child. Turn from your sin. Believe in your heart that my Son Jesus died for you. And you can do that right now. As you're sitting there, God knows your heart. Get right with him this morning. Say to God, God, right now, I believe in your Son Jesus. Please forgive me. Please save me. That's all you've got to do, is simply believe in Jesus Christ. He did all the work. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He wants you to give you a special gift of forgiveness. And not only to be forgiven, but to be his child forever. Make sure right now that you're one of his. Say to him, God, I've lived my life. You know how I've lived my life. But Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to say to you, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me. And I believe that Jesus died for me. And right now, I trust him as my Savior. And if that's your thoughts, while we're quiet here for a second, you tell God that. Now we're going to have an invitation that these steps are open. You can come down here and you can kneel at these steps and you can tell God whatever's on your heart. Maybe you've got friends and family members that you've been like Jonah. You haven't told them about Jesus. There's that person at the store that you've got to know. They even know you by name. There's a neighbor. There's neighbors next door to you. You've never invited them over. You never had the chance to talk to them. We'll find a way. Go to them. He told Jonah to get up and go. We need to go out to the world around us, to the people around us, and tell them the great news. Don't be shook up in a boat like Jonah was. Don't have to spend 3 days in a belly of a fish before you'll finally tell people. Say to God, I want to tell people today, starting today. You give me the opportunity, Lord, I will open my mouth and I will tell them of you. Maybe God's laid something else on your heart. Would you stand? And we're going to sing a song. And as we sing, you can come up here. You can talk to God. You can do it from there. But there's something about coming forward. this is just as a time as a church that we pray and we talk to Him and we sing. So would you stand? If God's laid it on your heart, somebody or something, just come up here and pray about it.